Well, good morning, everyone. So, recently I attended an event where there were a whole lot of people that I used to rub shoulders with, say, maybe 10 years ago. And I think the phrase that I heard and that I used the most that evening was, "I didn't recognize you." I would see someone kind of staring at me with a half smile, you know, and then they'd say, "It's me, it's Jordan," or "It's me, it's Caitlin," or it would be me saying, "Hello, it's Elise." 10 years can really do something with your appearance, right? I used to be brunette, yeah. In any case, when recognition would hit, it was this kind of like this aha moment, like, oh my goodness, I didn't recognize you. And there would be hugs and, you know, a lot of excited conversation that would ensue. And it was pretty special, you know. It was like my heart expanded and I got to see this person in a new way. Like the teenager I used to know is now a, you know, an established adult, a new way of looking at them. So maybe you can relate to that. You know, maybe you can think of a time when you recognize somebody suddenly. And which leads me to a bigger question. Do you remember the first time that you recognized Jesus? And was it this aha moment for you, when you started to see him in a new way? The Bible records a story about some people having that kind of experience when they recognized Jesus, and that's the story that we're going to look at today as we finish off this table talk series that we have been in since, earlier this fall. And this story is from Luke 24, and it's verses 13 to 35. So before we get into the actual text, let me just set a little bit of context for you. So this is happening on the very first Easter Sunday. A few days earlier, Jesus had been crucified and he died, and his followers are grief-stricken, and they're confused, and they're afraid, and they're disillusioned. They had believed that Jesus was going to be this Messiah, this political Messiah who was going to free Israel from Roman occupation, Roman oppression. But instead, Jesus had been executed, and the hope of his followers had died with him. But earlier that morning, some women from their group of Jesus followers had gone to the tomb where they'd put Jesus' body, and they found that the tomb was empty. And they reported being told by some angels that Jesus had risen, that he was no longer dead. Now, that's quite a claim, right? And the group was having a little bit of challenge believing it could be true. So as we begin this story, it's now later that same day, and we're talking about two Jesus followers. One was named Cleopas, and that could be to add some historical detail. Luke gives us that information, like this is a real person. The other person is unnamed, and some scholars have suggested that perhaps it was Cleopas's wife. Others have suggested that this person was left unnamed so that we could all see ourselves in this story. So in any case, these two followers, they leave Jerusalem and they head home down the road to Emmaus. So let's pick up the story at verse 13 of Luke 24. It says, "That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles, 11 kilometers, from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?' They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. What things? Jesus asked. The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth, they said. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and now they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Okay, well, there's a lot going on in this story, so we're going to take a closer look, and I'm going to share with you just some of the insights that have resonated with me, okay? So these two followers are on their way home from Jerusalem, walking to Emmaus. An 11-kilometer walk is roughly two and a half hours. And they are digesting all the events of the previous few years, really, the previous 7 days, shall we say, as well as the claim that they had heard that Jesus is alive. And they engage in this intense conversation about everything that's happened. And as they're walking and talking, verse 15 says that Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Now, to stop there. If we were reading this story for the first time and just stop there, and we're not aware of what happened next, we might expect this great celebration would erupt on that road to Emmaus as they recognize Jesus, right? Wouldn't that be what we would expect? And we might wonder, you know, what are they going to do now? Are they going to fall down in worship? Will they tackle him with bear hugs? Will they stare in disbelief or scream in fear? But none of these things happened because, as Luke states in verse 16, God kept them from recognizing him. To these disciples who know him, who have spent time with him, Jesus appears to be just another random traveler on the road. Now, this isn't the only time where people didn't immediately recognize Jesus after his resurrection. There are two occasions in John's gospel. In the one, Mary Magdalene is crying at the tomb when she sees Jesus, but she assumes that he's the gardener. And it's not until he says her name that she recognizes that it's Jesus. And that failure to recognize might be explained by, her vision was blurred by her tears. In the other report, seven of the disciples had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. And then at dawn, Jesus is on the shore calling to them, telling them, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they get this huge haul of fish. And then they realize that it's Jesus. And failure to recognize in that case might be explained by the distance between the boat and the shore, right? But no such logical explanation can be made regarding the Emmaus Road experience, because verse 16 clearly says, but God kept them from recognizing him. And I can't help but wonder, like, why? Why would God hide Jesus' identity from these two followers? What purpose was served in preventing them from recognizing Jesus? And we can speculate, but the Bible doesn't clearly spell out the answer. What I can say is that I think that God was revealing himself according to his own timetable. God knew what he was doing. So Jesus joins these two travelers, and we see that his approach is very gentle. It's very gradual, very non-invasive. He starts walking with them and engages with them by asking a simple question. You know, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? And when they express incredulity that someone wouldn't know what had just happened, he encourages them to keep talking. He says, like, what things? And he listens. And they tell him their story and how their hope has been quashed and how disillusioned they are. And then they tell him about the woman seeing the angels at Jesus' tomb who told them that he was alive. And Jesus listens. Is this not a great approach, a great model for us to emulate when we approach a faith conversation with someone? We first have to be present with them, to listen to them. And I don't know about you, but when someone listens to me, I am way more inclined to listen to them, right? It's only after Jesus has listened to them does he morph from this random traveler on the road to a teacher. And he takes them through the scriptures. These are their scriptures, scriptures that they have interacted with. It's what we know of as the Old Testament. And he shows them how what they have just experienced and witnessed in Jerusalem was clearly predicted in the scriptures. It was all there. In these scriptures that they would have already been familiar with. He shows them how Moses and the prophets and the psalmists had written that the Messiah would have to suffer all the things that Jesus had just suffered before entering into his glory. I hate that phrase. It's just like, what does that mean? Before he would come into his position of power and authority, say. Now, we aren't told how these two travelers received the explanation. I grew up in a church, always went to Sunday school, and I probably heard the phrase, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, every single week. It was part of the liturgy. We would sing it, I don't know, at some point in the service. And it wasn't until I was in my early 20s, a new Christian, that a Jesuit priest in Sudbury opened up the scriptures to me and explained how the Old Testament reference, the Lamb of God, linking Christ to the Passover. And I remember going, huh, I didn't know that. I'd never seen that before. And you might say that my heart burned with that explanation. That's how I imagine these two travelers reacting. Like, huh, we never saw that before. It's like a new perspective was given to them. But they still didn't recognize Jesus. They're still on God's timetable. When they arrive in Emmaus, Jesus acts like he's going on, but the two disciples, they urge him to stay with them, and he accepts their invitation. So think about that for a moment. Jesus doesn't invite himself into their home. He waits for an invitation. And Jesus joins us on our journeys without our asking. It's on his timetable, that's true. But at some point, and maybe at a lot of points, he waits to be invited in. "Listen, I stand at the door knocking," Jesus says in Revelation. "If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me." Jesus comes knocking, but he waits to be let in. He never forces his way in. Perhaps for us, this is another reminder of how we might approach walking with others, not bashing them over the head with our faith, not pushing ourselves on them, but always being ready when the invitation presents itself. Now, finally, it's when they sit down at the table to eat, and Jesus goes through the same motions he had used at his Last Supper 4 days earlier. He takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives the bread to him. It's then that they have their aha moment. Verse 31 says, "Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." Note that it does not say they opened their own eyes. It says that their eyes were open, that God chose that moment to reveal to them that Jesus had been their companion on the road. And then he disappears. And they say to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And I wonder if they said to each other, "I can't believe we didn't recognize him." And this recognition opened them up to a broader understanding of Jesus. They saw him in a new way. Now, what has struck me the most in this story is how Jesus revealed himself gradually. He was very much in control of bringing those disciples to a point of recognition. And I think back to when I first recognized Jesus, like really recognized him. My experience was not unlike that of the Emmaus disciples. You know, like them, I had spent years around Jesus, you know, Sunday school and confirmation class and countless sermons and worship services. But it was all without really recognizing Jesus. And maybe you can relate to that in some of your experience. And one day, some university classmates walked alongside me and shared their own Jesus experience with me. And you might say that suddenly my eyes were opened. And I saw Jesus in a whole new way. So were all those years of church going and confirmation classes wasted time? I don't think so. Because it prepared me for the moment when God did open my eyes. What was achieved by preventing the disciples from recognizing Jesus? You know, they were able to process their feelings. They were given valuable insight into Scripture, new appreciation for the significance of Scripture. They were gradually and gently warmed to the possibility that what they had believed about Jesus all along was wrong. They were gently and gradually led to the place where they could accept and believe. You know, God's timing is often different from our expectations. And I think that he chooses to reveal himself on his own timetable, not ours. Like, we want our loved ones to accept Jesus now, right now. And we don't understand why our friends aren't here in church with us worshiping. Why doesn't everyone believe? And we take it on ourselves like it's our responsibility. Do you relate to that? About 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine had been declared palliative and asked if I would come visit her. She was looking for some counseling about what was going to happen next. And I did go to see her, but our conversation did not get to the depth that I would have liked. It was just kind of shallow, and I certainly did not lead her to faith. And I beat myself up about it. I went away saying, I didn't do that right. And I vowed to be more intentional the next time I saw her. So the next day, I went to see her at hospice, but it was too late. She had passed that morning, and I felt such remorse, as though I had failed somehow. But I was working on this sermon. And I recalled the story that God kept them from recognizing him, and then their eyes were open. And who am I to say what transpired in her final moments? Who am I to say how Jesus walked with her and revealed himself to her? Who am I to say what God's timing was for her? In the Message version, John 6, he says, "You're not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come." Which leads me to my second insight. It's not going to be as long as the first, don't worry. Okay. Jesus used scripture to explain to the two disciples all the prophecies about the Messiah. How Isaiah had said he would be despised and rejected of men, he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. How the psalmist talked about his pierced hands and feet and that he would finally cry out, "I thirst." He showed how the Old Testament pointed to his death and resurrection, how the cross was necessary. It was part of God's plan. And so I think, you know, if the scriptures were right about the Messiah, and if Jesus used them as his reference, then shouldn't I look at them as something significant too? Shouldn't I presume or at least be open to the possibility that they are also spot on about other things? Like Christ will come again. Like I go to prepare a place for you. Like God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Like, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this story also makes me consider that there are probably other things in scripture that I don't fully grasp yet. But I trust that God will reveal them to me in his timing. And I pray for the humility to accept that. One final insight. Recognizing Jesus is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing journey. After the two disciples recognize Jesus, they don't waste any time in going back to Jerusalem and joining all the others in this big celebration. And if we read on in this chapter, and in other Gospels, we know that Jesus continued to appear to them and to more and more people and again until he was taken up to heaven. And then as promised, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, who continued to interact with them and guide them and walk with them and empower them. And the good news is that it's the same with us. Once we recognize Jesus, his Spirit is always with us, interacting with us, walking with us, and empowering us. And it's not just the one and done event. It's an ongoing journey. However, I don't know about you, but sometimes I am like those travelers on the road to Emmaus because I don't always recognize Jesus walking with me. And it's not because God has closed my eyes. It's more like I've gotten wound up in what's going on in my life. Or I'm crushed with grief. Or gotten over busy. Or there's some unspeakable tragedy happening in the world. where things haven't turned out the way I expected, or just that things are going swimmingly well, and it's like I lose sight of them. Have you been there? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that I find both comforting and empowering from this story, and that I hope you will too. Even when we don't recognize him, even when he shows up in ways we don't expect, and we don't understand what is going on, he is still with us, and he is still for us. And I pray that we will all have the eyes to see and the faith to accept that. Let's pray. Well, God, we thank you for your word, living and active, that can still make our hearts burn. God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you always with us. God, that you would ignite our faith to believe in you when things don't go the way we would expect. And God, that we would expect to see you in all the highs and the lows of our lives. God, give us the eyes to see, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.